Sucks.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
On today's program, we're going to do a check-in with a couple of the staff from the Mercy Foundation. They work in different areas, and we'll kind of cover some of the things that are going on in their area. First of all, Marian Pearson with us, and Marian, thanks for being on.
Well, thanks for having me, Kyle.
So talk about your role there at Mercy Foundation.
Oh, yeah, sure. I am the program coordinator for our violence prevention committees for our wonderful county of Douglas. So that's the Up to Us Now Child Abuse Prevention Coalition, as well as the Douglas County Human Trafficking Task Force.
And let's talk about the task force. What's been going on in recent weeks, recent months?
Well, recently, you know, with the shutdown, we've kind of been away from our usual community trainings. So in recent months, we have put out across social media some online trainings for parents and for teens, as well as started to air our Survivor Series, where we have interviewed some. Our first one was a trafficking survivor. She's got a really terrific little program out. She is local to our community. She's really a wonderful gal and has a very compelling story. And we are, within the next couple weeks, going to release a story from another survivor of sexual assault, who happens to be a male survivor. He also has a very compelling story that we feel our parents and our local parents and kids would really be interested in.
How does that work to do these in virtual situations?
Well, it's become a lot less personal. We can't answer a lot of questions, but we do have an opportunity to really pinpoint information that's really appropriate for our community and then really narrow it down. So it's really helped us focus a lot of what we want to talk about and things that are appropriate and going on within our community, especially with the shutdown and so many kids online these days.
So what about upcoming plans? We're in the midst of summer now, looking forward to maybe even to the fall about some things you'd like to do.
Oh, we're really super excited about the fall and the opening of school, and we hope that that's going to happen. And with some of the information out today, we're not sure. But we do have a prevention curriculum that we're going to be distributing to all of our school districts. Before the shutdown last year, we did have some of our educators trained in Teens Against Trafficking. Well, we've retooled that with our partners, and we'll now be offering the training online to educators, as well as new, more interactive tools for the students. And that prevention training illustrates the red flags and the recruiting processes into trafficking, so we can keep our kids as safe as possible.
So how diverse are the types of services you offer under the task force?
Say again, Kyle?
Talk about the diversity of services that you offer with the task force.
We have so many amazing partners within our community that we're able to really offer an array of services to any victims or survivors, or even anybody who is seeking additional support. So the counseling services, very specific to trafficking survivors, but also any other sort of abuses as well through our Peace at Home partners, as well as Douglas Cares. But we can also offer some assistance with relocation if that's needed, some legal assistance, connection to law enforcement if that's what they want, and if not and they need some other sort of support services, language services, we can certainly help them out with that as well. Housing, employment training, just about anything that somebody might need.
For the students that you're trying to help in terms of dealing with predators and traffickers, do you think there's a better understanding of what the issue is, what the problems are, or do kids oftentimes get sucked into these things?
You know, the thing about predators is they are very savvy at what they do. They know how to speak with their targets, so they know how to speak with kids. They know how to fill the need. They know how to finesse them, and it's real easy to get caught up into what you think is already in a relationship, it turns out to be something completely different. But through education, and especially prevention education, we can teach kids to look for those red flags, to look for the signs of recruitment. It does follow a very particular process, so kids don't have to be taken by surprise. Very often kids are in it before they even know that they're in it, but knowing what the signs are, they're able to help themselves and, you know, really importantly, they're able to help friends. So they might not recognize it if it's happening to them, but they certainly recognize it if it's happening to a friend of theirs, and they will be able to help them and then connect them to services and resources if needed.
With Mercy Foundation being part of the Greater Mercy Medical Organization, what do you do with in terms of hospital staff and some training there so they know what to watch for?
You know, our Mercy Medical Center staff are really amazing, and they really do want to address all the issues that are happening within our high-risk and at-risk population as well as our community as a whole. Mercy is working with us to retool some of their assessments and their intakes to add additional screening, protection, and a layer of questions that will help us to identify victims and survivors of a number of abuses, but certainly of trafficking as well. And then as soon as we can get somebody identified, then we can absolutely wrap services around them to make sure that they're safe, to make sure that their needs are being met, and help them in whatever way that they think is best for them.
How do you get this message out to the community? I mean, you've talked about the virtual things you've done lately, but how do you kind of impact different areas of Douglas County, different groups of people?
You know, our community is so amazing. We have a pretty major following on our Facebook page, which is really helpful. But we have so many of our partners that continually just talk about what we're doing as a whole. They continue to raise awareness. They continue to pass out all of our information, which includes a lot of training connections as well. But we do also have community partners that support us in ways that set us up for awareness, such as this Friday is actually World Day, and we were going to do a sidewalk awareness event, which was, and I just want to mention for those of you who may have heard about this, our sidewalk event has been rescheduled to October 2nd. But there's a gal within the community. Her name is Carly Upright. She owns a photography studio, Moonglow Photography, but she is really wonderful about community awareness and really supports us in our efforts and invites us into her efforts as well to raise awareness on child sexual assault and keeping kids safe. And it's even small things like that. It's people talking to their neighbors, people talking to their coworkers, sharing information across social media, asking questions or contacting us or other partners on how to get involved in order to keep our community as safe as possible, and to really boost protective factors, to connect parents, to help them understand what the risks are to their kids and to themselves as well.
Now, one of your fundraisers traditionally has been the Challenge of the Heroes. Where are you at with that this year?
Yeah, Challenge of the Heroes. We were really hoping to be able to hold our Challenge of the Heroes fundraiser this year. That's where our local heroes, so our first responders, so the military, EMS, fire, and law enforcement have all gone into our participating restaurants, our local participating restaurants, and done really super fun things, like they're waiting tables, and they're bringing drinks, and they're having races, and they're doing super fun things like that in order to raise money for child abuse prevention and human trafficking prevention education and awareness services within our county. With the shutdown last year, we weren't able to hold it, and with the new news from Oregon Health Authority today and the way that the climate's kind of been going, some lack of staff with restaurants, we don't feel like we can hold it in a traditional manner, but we want to give our community an opportunity to thank our heroes, to support our restaurants as well as efforts by kind of going virtual this year. So we're hoping that the week of September 20th to 26th, that our local restaurants will allow us to put tip jars in the restaurants for donations. And then we have already started talking with our heroes about engaging them and then restaurant owners into helping us make PSAs that will talk about our partnership, their dedication to our community, and to increase awareness and education around child abuse and human trafficking and why that's important, and their dedication to those efforts as well. So we're super excited about that. Stay tuned for more information on that as we get that planned out.
Marian Pearson with us from the Mercy Foundation. When we come back, we'll switch gears, talk to Trina McClure-Gwaltney about another aspect of the Mercy Foundation. That is on the way in 90 seconds. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1246 Inside Douglas County is on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming up at 1. Later, KQEN Local Talk at 4. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. And tomorrow on Inside Douglas County, Allison Doty will be with us. She's the Executive Director of Glide Revitalization. We'll tell you about some of the things they are doing. Trina McClure-Gwaltney with us from the Mercy Foundation for this segment. Trina, tell folks a little bit about your role, what you do there at the foundation.
I am the Healthy Kids Outreach Program Manager, and we have health awareness services that go out into schools, and we cover quite a wide range, but really our focus is prevention and raising health awareness around prevention in schools. And so I lead that charge in those services that come out of Mercy Foundation.
How big an issue is that around here with just the economic aspects of the area? What kind of challenges do you have there?
Our major challenges are for families to access the care that they need for their students. And so some of that, we've created services that actually go to the school site so that we create that way to access. And those services that we don't have or provide out of the foundation, then we have some positions that work to help families navigate our care system in Douglas County, accessing the care they need and helping problem solve any barriers that they may have to get that, whether it's gas vouchers to help with gas assistance, whether it's co-pays that they need financial assistance for. So we have those support programs out of the foundation also.
Is it particularly a challenge in the most rural areas?
Yes, but, you know, I would say in the last couple of years that there is just still that continued access of knowing how to navigate the access even within the Roseburg area, but the surrounding areas for sure that don't have maybe a healthcare provider in them or a dental provider in them, that families have more difficulty, obviously, to either get off work or the transportation to get where they need to. So they just both have their own posed challenges that we help try to support and families navigate around those.
One of the areas I suspect you're most known for is all your work with dental education and dental help.
Yes, our dental program starting in 2011 started with prevention services in just a couple of schools, and we've grown to serve all of the elementary schools, actually grades K through 12, around the county. And we provide screenings, fluoride varnish, sealants, and some elevated services for those kids that are high risk. But also in correlation with that access to care, we provide a connection to a dental home. And those kids that have urgent or immediate needs, we get them out of pain in that 24 to 48 hours by connecting them with a provider that can take care of those dental needs.
So are some of these dental services actually done at their schools?
Yes. So it is a school-based sealant program. And so we have vans that travel to all the schools that bring the service there. And then in addition, we also have an education program that delivers hands-on interactive oral health education, grades K through 12, that get them excited and empowered about taking care of their teeth, and they learn about the impacts of different things on their teeth, and then provide them a kit that they go home with and that they can practice what we're teaching them. And then we can see how that education is working when we see them in the clinic and see how their caries or their dental decay is doing.
And I understand you've got a community health dental coordinator as well.
We do. So this has been a position, it was a liaison in the past that helped with that case management, but in moving with the credibility and with a pilot program with the American Dental Association, we did a certification over this last year that Melissa Garges-Schmidt took, and she is graduating here in August with her certificate from Rio Salado on this pilot program. And only the second one in the state of Oregon to be a certified community health dental coordinator. And it just provides more access for families to create that dental home and those follow-up on those urgent and immediate needs, but also works in that coordination between our schools, the services, and the families. So really connecting all of the dots, just like other pieces of our program have functioned to really connect the dots in the services in our community so that we're not duplicating anything. We are working to have warm handoff and communication between agencies, but also how we can collaborate and support each other further to deepen the access that our families have to the care they need.
So the second one in the state of Oregon, you got to feel good about that.
Yes, it's been in alignment with work that we've been doing on policy change and working with groups that are advocating for that. Oregon Community Foundation is essential in moving that needle at the legislative level. We've been a part of bills to HB 2969, just recently got passed, to require oral health education be a part of health curriculum in schools. And so we're a part of that task force in helping lead that curriculum development based off of our dental learning lab that we deliver and those foundations to those lessons that are going to then be provided to the Department of Education to be able to inform on the curriculum that's being developed and delivered in schools. And so it shines a light on the importance of oral health being included in overall health education for kids, even in the classroom.
So with school out of session for the summer, at least for the most part, the aspect of food becomes an issue. Are you guys involved in the sort of the food side of things at all?
We are. We work with OSU Extension. We have since the beginning of our program in delivering prevention education in schools around nutrition and physical activity. But for this summer's program, working with the farmers markets to deliver, OSU is delivering kits that kids get to go home and learn how to make a recipe and encouraging fruit and vegetable consumption. And we've partnered with them. We had a grant we received from Oregon Community Foundation to do this together, and so we've also tailored information to be able to deliver dental kits along with those food learning, and then some hygiene kits that will be coming in one of the August sites so that families get that education around nutrition and working together as a family to make these meals, but also around the importance of good hygiene and the tools that they need to do that.
One of the terms I've heard for a long time with the foundation is the network of care. Explain that.
So Mercy's involvement with the network of care is working with agencies and organizations that are around our community to have one area or a website for people and other organizations to access what the resources are in Douglas County. So we encourage any organization that provides any service out there to go onto the network of care and can enter their information so that it's one area where people can access and research that. In addition, many organizations have come together to have a health improvement plan after a community health assessment. And the three areas that our community has focused on to improve are, is our access to care, is behavioral health, and also identified food, nutrition, and exercise as essential. So the network of care is working on those three target areas as organizations coming together to address those top three needs in our community and our communication together.
If people want to find out more about the work of the Mercy Foundation, where can you direct them?
MercyGiving.org is our website. They are also welcome to call Mercy Foundation as a part of Mercy Hospital. And many of us are available to answer questions on all the levels of our services and programs.
Trina McClure-Gwaltney of Mercy Foundation, thanks for being on.
Thank you for having us.
1258 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.